Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Orla, thank you very much for that. And as you heard there in the news headlines, a 50-year-old taxi driver who was described as preying on vulnerable young women has been found guilty of rape. Raymond Shorten of Melrose Crescent, Clondalkin, had denied raping two young women on separate nights in the summer of 2022. After deliberating for a total of 76 minutes since yesterday, the jury found him guilty on all three charges of rape by unanimous verdict. Well, we're joined now by Eimear Dodd, who's court reporter with CCC Nuacht, and by Rachel Morrow, CEO of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, and you're both welcome. Eimear, I'll come to yourself first. And can you take us through what was the prosecution's case in this trial?
Hello, Sarah. So the prosecution's case in this trial was that the two women had been on socialising on separate nights in Dublin city centre, and they found themselves in a taxi, which was where they were each raped by Shorten, who was the driver. The Central Criminal Court heard that the two women aren't known to each other and were completely independent to each other. The first victim, she was 19 in June 2022, and she told the court that she'd been socialising with colleagues and had drunk more than she was used to. And she described having gaps in her memory of her journey home that night, but recalled waking up as a passenger in a car. And she said she felt very dazed and her eyes were heavy. And she recalled a man was driving, and she said after the car stopped, he moved her into the back of the car where he raped her. She described falling in and out of consciousness at this point, and she told the court that when the man had finished, he returned to the driver's seat and then dropped her near her home. The second victim, she was 20 in, and she was also socialising in the city centre on a date in early August 2022. She told the court in her testimony that she had been due to stay at a friend's house that night, but decided to get a taxi home because she was feeling very tired and drunk. She said she fell asleep in the back of a taxi, and the next thing she remembered was waking up to find the taxi driver raping her. She described feeling in shock and not knowing how to fight back. Afterwards, she said the taxi had dropped her home. Both women, when they were cross-examined by the defence, they both rejected the defence's suggestion that there had been consensual sexual activity between them on these separate occasions and the taxi driver, Shorten.
And Raymond Shorten, of course, denied the allegations. What exactly was put forward as his defence?
So Shorten's defence, he claimed that he had consensual sexual contact with both of these two women in a taxi, which he said the women had initiated. So two prepared statements that he had made to Gardaí after his arrest on separate occasions in relation to the allegations made by the women were read to the jury. And in these statements, he insisted that his interactions with the two victims had been consensual. Shorten didn't give evidence during the trial, as is his right, but three witnesses were called by the defence to give evidence. These were three different women who said they had consensual sex with Shorten on other occasions in the back of his taxi. They had made statements to Gardaí as part of their investigation. These women said they had been on nights out and had been drinking. They said they got a taxi, which Shorten was driving. And they outlined to the court that they engaged in consensual sex with him. And afterwards, they had exchanged phone numbers with him.
Now, the jury were shown CCTV that was harvested by Gardaí during their investigation. Can you give us a sense of what they saw?
Of course, Sarah. So separate CCTV montages showing some of the taxi's movements on the two nights were shown to the jury. In some of the CCTV from the night in June, the first woman can be seen walking along a street in Dublin. And at one point, she's dragging what seems to be a black rubbish bag behind her. The taxi car can also be seen in the footage on the road, and it does several U-turns, then stops beside her. The woman gets into the taxi shortly afterwards, leaving the black bag behind, and the taxi drives away. There was also a lot of CCTV shown to the jury in relation to the night of the second incident in August. It showed the second woman coming over to the taxi, which was parked at the side of a busy road, then getting inside the back. Later in the footage, the taxi is seen stopped on another road. It remains there for around 7 minutes, and Shorten is seen getting out of the car, then getting into the rear passenger side. Around just over six minutes later, he gets out again and goes back into the driver's seat. The footage also showed the taxi's return to the city centre after the second woman had been dropped home.
Imre, what was the reaction in court as the verdicts were read?
The jury came back with unanimous guilty verdicts this morning. They had been deliberating for a total of 76 minutes. As you said, Sarah, they went out to consider their verdicts yesterday afternoon. So they had only been out for about an hour yesterday before they went home. And then this morning, they asked trial judge, Mr. Justice Paul McDermott, to go over some of the evidence for them again. And then they went out again to consider their verdict. So word came back about 20 minutes later that there were verdicts. I think there was some surprise at the speed at which the jury reached their unanimous verdicts. But the victims and family members were sitting in the back of the court as verdicts were read. I could hear some weeping as the registrar read out guilty to each of the three counts.
Imre Dodd, thank you very much for joining us with that account of what happened during this court case. We're also joined by Rachel Morrow of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. And Rachel, you're welcome to the programme this evening. Very distressing detail, really, of what was heard in court. What's your reaction to all of that?
Absolutely, Sarah. I mean, Imre's report makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, especially her description of the CCTV footage. It's just so chilling. We really welcome the verdict that the taxi driver, as you described in your intro, as preying on these vulnerable young women, has been found guilty of rape. And I'd also just like to recognise and commend the young women for coming forward, because it sends a really strong message to other victims who have been watching the case through the media that they will be believed and that it's possible to get a guilty verdict. But there are elements of the case that will be well recognised by victims of sexual violence. It was reported that the defence counsel said that there were quite significant question marks, difficulties and flaws in the case, and that there were issues of memory and confusion. And he said that the unpleasant truth was that the young women did not remember how the encounter had begun. And I think that that gives an insight into what victims of sexual violence experience. Their credibility is tested, they're not believed, they are invalidated. But today the jury delivered a guilty verdict, and it sent a hugely important message to people who might be considering reporting a sexual offence that they will be believed despite the defendant, like you said, saying he was not guilty. So we're pleased today that he was found guilty, and we wish those young women the very best, and hopefully they have the opportunity to now chart a new course in their lives and start a journey of healing.
I think there may be an awful lot of people listening, particularly women and younger women, to what has happened here. And, you know, we will all have had experiences of being out ourselves or being out with friends who've maybe had a bit to drink, and you make sure to put them in a taxi and maybe say, text me when you get home or something like that. And, you think that they're safe and that they're going to get home, and they'll text when they get home. And they'll be listening to this, and, you know, it's very difficult to listen to that then in terms of your own sense of safety. So what's the message, do you think, young women can take from all of this, or women in general?
Absolutely, but we should be safe everywhere. Just because we're women doesn't mean that we should have to take extra precautions to keep ourselves safe. I mean, the issue is with the perpetrator, and they are the ones who are raping people. Sexual violence is unfortunately something that many of us have experienced. The CSO tells us that fewer than 50% of women or anybody will ever tell another person what has happened if they've experienced sexual violence, and only 5% of those people will tell the Gardaí. And as you are touching on there, Sarah, the two main reasons that they're not telling the Gardaí is that they think that it's not serious enough, or they feel ashamed or embarrassed. And I suppose our message to women is, and men as well, is that you will be believed to contact the National Rape Crisis Helpline on 1-800-77-88-88, and we can guide you through any issues that you may have faced. But with regard to taxis specifically, I think we need to recognise that taxi drivers do have a really important role in our society. People need to be able to trust them to get from A to B in safety. And people, like you said, we put our loved ones into a cab and trust that they will get home okay. This taxi driver abused that position of trust. And of course, that will be a concern to listeners, particularly, I think, parents of young people whose children are out socialising. And I was noting the age of those two young women, age only 19 and 20. It was 2022. We were just out of COVID and we were all encouraged to go out and socialise. So we need to ensure that all public service vehicles are safe places for people to be in. And that includes ensuring there are adequate public transport options for people alongside taxis too. We need to understand what the role of the National Transport Authority is in this. They're the regulator of taxis, and maybe we need to look at training and education for people, and also the complaints procedures and how easy it is to complain and how these are processed. And of the incidents, just to mention this, of the incidents reported in the sexual assault treatment units last year, 1% took place in a taxi. So although that may sound like a small proportion, it's high enough to be a category in its own, and therefore maybe we need its own solutions to that problem as well.
Okay, I just want to ask you finally, because you touched there on the court case itself, and we have spoken so much over the last couple of years about the difficulty in securing rape convictions and, you know, how invasive these court cases can be. Where are we at with all of that? Because I know there have been movements and attempts to try and make the whole process easier for the victim.
There's so many different barriers to somebody getting a conviction of rape, and it starts, like I said, with that difficulty in even telling anyone that something has happened. Those feelings of shame, they're more likely to be reported by women. You know, they're saying that they're not even reporting a rape because they blame themselves for what happened. And as many as one in four say they didn't want to go to the Gardaí because they'd been drinking or taking drugs at the time they were assaulted. And cases like this, I suppose, while there was a guilty verdict, just the process that they had to go through, that they had to, I suppose, describe that they had been drinking, that they were close to being unconscious, that will send a chill factor through anybody who is considering reporting it. But look, the verdict today shows that the jury understood the law very well, because the Sexual Offences Act states that a person does not consent to a sexual act if he or she is unconscious or if he or she is incapable of consenting because of the effect of alcohol or some other drug. So I suppose the other barriers, just to say what they are with regard to justice, is that there's long waiting times, as you know, Sarah, to actually get to court. There's a lack of witnesses or corroborative evidence. Cases can take between 2 and 4 years, which has a really profound effect on the victim. And then there's the unpredictability of what the sentence will actually be and whether the victim themselves thinks that it's proportionate or not. So there's lots of work still to do, but we're hopeful that guilty verdicts like this will send a really strong message to the community of survivors out there that they will be believed, and to please get in touch with Dublin Rape Crisis Centre.
Rachel Morrow, CEO of Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, thank you very much for joining us this evening.